This is Scott Becker with the Becker Private Equity Podcast. Thrilled today to visit with Matt Wolf. Matt's a senior leader at RSM. He helps lead up the valuation practice and has a great sense of what's going on in the private equity world at all times. Matt, we're going to discuss today sort of consumer sentiment. What does that mean in terms of private equity? What does that look like? You know, where are we going from here? There's all kinds of discussion. What's, you know, the new phrase is now Fed speak, which is people trying to to determine what the Fed means when they talk about interest rates. But where are we at on consumer spending, consumer sentiment, and how are private equity funds viewing acquisition opportunities and just the business?
Yeah, it's a fascinating topic. Thanks for having me on, Scott. And, you know, consumer sentiment, consumer spending, the health of the U.S. consumer is really paramount because our economy is consumer driven, right? We have a consumer based economy. And this is really important to pay attention to, regardless of the ecosystem that you're investing in, because it affects GDP growth, you know, the growing GDP, right? The rising tide lifts all boats, right? This is very important. And we saw through the end of this earnings season, kind of some mixed data, right? And we can compare, you know, the two big reports, Walmart versus Target. Walmart very strong, Target maybe less so, but that's primarily a result of a different mix in goods that they're selling. You know, what we're seeing across consumers, and this sort of reinforced our view, what the data is telling us, what our conversations and what our research is showing us, is that, you know, consumer balance sheets still remain strong generally. It's, you know, different if a households in the lowest income quintiles compared to the highest. There are differences, of course, but generally remain strong. Sentiment remains strong. You know, we're seeing retailers do obviously a lot of discounting. We're seeing consumers change their spending habits, maybe less on goods, more on experiences, or buying, you know, cheaper brands than they were buying before, but still spending. And we expect that to remain strong through the holidays, particularly because we don't expect, you know, the retailer discounting to stop before the holidays, right? They will continue through the holidays to get a high volume, strong holiday season. We'll see where the dust settles in Q1 of next year. But for now, consumer sentiment remains strong. People want to spend money. They are maybe pulling back a little bit, but that sentiment, that spending remains strong. We expect it will in the future for, you know, the next quarter or so at least, which will help prop up business activity, right? It will help reduce a little bit of the uncertainty that we're seeing. It's generally a good thing for private equity deal making and operations.
Thank you. And consumer sentiment, I've seen a couple stats the last couple of days that credit card debt is at the highest point. It's been risen by its highest point in a couple of decades, that people are also tapping into their home equity loans in a stronger way than they've done in a long time. I'm sure you've probably seen some of those reports too about credit cards and home equity. Doesn't it mean at some point that people are a little over their skis, and at some point the spending cycle will have to slow a little bit, consumer sentiment will go in the wrong direction? Because people binge on credit card debt, they binge on home equity debt. Won't that at some point force a slowdown in consumer sentiment? What's your sense there?
It will, and this is where, and I know we've talked about this before on this podcast, of the differences in those income quintiles, right? So especially if you're operating a consumer brand, it's so important to know who is buying your product, who is paying for your services, where do they fall in the income quintiles, because that's going to be a different story for lower income earners than higher income earners. As we see, you know, generally higher income earners still have cash reserves, they still have savings. So even if they are, and they are also increasing home equity line of credit debt, increasing credit card debt, but they still have some savings to rely on. Although some of their, you know, they're also pulling back a little bit just because of market fluctuations. You know, it's a very different narrative at the lower income quintiles, who are continuing to spend, maybe not increasing debt quite as much, but don't have some of that same resiliency. So it's important to look a little bit below the headline and understand which consumers, which customers will really affect your bottom line as a business or as an investor.
Thank you. And what's the private equity sentiment about investing? Is investing slowing, accelerating? What are you seeing out there in the market in terms of the aggressiveness of private equity and trying to put money to work?
Yeah, I mean, the deal volume is definitely slowing. I'd say for most sectors, we'll probably see deal volume kind of end the year around where it was in 2020. Some sectors will be a lot lower, some will be a lot higher. But that volume has definitely decreased. I think we're trying to, you know, we're seeing investors kind of return to the pre-hysteria typical due diligence processes, you know, the 30, 45 day process that we were all used to prior to 2022, and take their time. And also, you know, rising interest rates and funding financing, right? It's more expensive to deploy some of that capital. They're still going to deploy capital. We're still going to see deals done, but it's now becoming more expensive. So we're becoming a little bit more selective. And, you know, we're also kind of seeing, at least on the sidelines, sort of the edges, additional financing vehicles kind of come around, like NAV loans and other things, as private equity firms try to put their capital to work in new ways amid kind of this new interest rate regime.
Thank you. And we've seen some of that slowing in deals. I've seen some of that sort of private equity is being more cautious on this practice acquisition or that deal or that transaction. Is that a function of them waiting for the market to play out a little bit, or uncertainty about the profitability of what the investment is going to look like? What do you think is driving that little bit slowing of putting money to work?
The conversations I've had, a lot of that uncertainty is around what is the future operating environment going to look like. There's a lot of uncertainty there. You know, we're just talking about consumer sentiment, right? What does the middle of next year look like, especially if we do go through some kind of a recession for consumers? What does that look like? There's a lot of uncertainty there. CEO confidence indexes is at the lowest it's been in decades too. There's just so much uncertainty. I would say I've had some conversations where, you know, I think some investors are expecting, oh, well, we're going to hit, you know, the Fed's going to hit its inflation targets with federal funds rate and then going to quickly cut rates again. So we're waiting for that environment to get better. And I think that's optimistic. I just don't see that happening based on everything the Fed has said. I just wouldn't bet against the Fed in this case, but there are those who seem to be. But back to your question, I think the primary reason is just the uncertainty. There's so much we don't know what that environment's going to look like over the next even 6 to 9 months, let alone 3 or 5 years. So it's tough.
I mean, it really is. I mean, every time that people start to bet that the Fed's going to soften on rates, you get another reminder from the Fed that we're not really quite there yet. You know, and even people that say they're going to soften rates think rates are going up another 100 basis points and so forth. I'm not yet hearing private equity funds and their sponsored companies yell uncle or ask for mercy, saying, oh my God, the debt, like if you have $100 million in debt outstanding and your rates have gone up by 300 basis points or $3 million a year, $4 million a year, that seems to be like a lot of money. It doesn't, though, seem like I'm hearing private equity funds and their sponsored portfolio companies yell for mercy yet. But it does seem to have a real impact on slowing down of investment, because now all of a sudden you got to make more margins. Even if you look at things from an EBITDA perspective versus not, it's real cash flow, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's a great point. You know, we look at companies that are sponsored right now. What is their cash position? What do their balance sheets look like? And we get some kind of broad reporting around that. We have some of our own data, and you know, Bloomberg publishes some data on this as well. And generally, across most sectors, you know, a lot of these portfolio companies seem to remain pretty well capitalized. Well, you know, we saw some of that in some of the BDC reporting, you know, at least so far. And of course, that always brings up a question of mark to market. But it seems like private companies, as to your point, are still able to service that debt. I just wonder how much of that is because of a resiliency of a stockpile that was built up during, you know, some pretty favorable times in, you know, over the last 18 months or so.
You've talked about consumer sentiment a lot, Matt. One of the issues that I had always heard was consumers had added to their savings, added to their home equity over the last couple of years, and added to their overall equity values, and that it was really expected, not for another 8 to 10 months, that would start to drain down and be another indicator that we're really going into a recession. And I guess what gives me some concern is the stats that I see on consumers tapping into credit cards at a harder level than they've done in a long time, into their home equity at a harder time than they've done in a long time. And it strikes me that that has the ability to turn negative on consumer incentive relatively quickly if at the end of the day consumers are teeing up on debt again. Any sense of the impact that will have?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think I wouldn't say we're at that teetering point yet, but it's data that we're watching very carefully for exactly that reason. And the timing of that too, I think, with any sort of recession is also important to watch, right? We've seen the return of the Phillips curve, right? And this relationship between inflation and unemployment. And, you know, as the Fed through its monetary policy levers seeks to reduce inflation, it almost by necessity or by rule will increase unemployment. I mean, that's just almost the way it has to work, really. And so we'll see, okay, who suffers that unemployment? Are they the same people who have been leveraging themselves up on their consumer balance sheets over the past 6 months? What is the timing of that? What kind of ramifications does that have throughout the economy? And I, the outlook isn't great, but there's a scenario or two in which the timing of it kind of works out that the pain will be mitigated, if that makes sense.
No, thank you. And it does have a big impact on the micro and macroeconomic situation. It really does. I mean, we see it on the micro situation. Every company that was involved in sees higher leverage and debt cost, a little more concerned about margins on the household standpoint, a little bit less net worth as equity is going the wrong direction. That's on a micro standpoint. When you multiply that by 300 million people, 330 million people, it has a big impact in the economy in the long run. And it's at what point do people sort of have to reel themselves in because the world's changed a little bit? And then what does that do to the companies and the perspectives of private equity funds as well? Even though private equity funds are very much trying to turn deals and create value, whether they can still do so and how that looks. Matt, as always, I want to thank you for joining us on the Becker Private Equity Podcast. Just always a pleasure to visit with Matt Wolf of RSM, one of the brightest guys I get to talk to. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Scott.